You're listening to the podcast for all of the news, notes, and breakdowns for your Ohio State Buckeyes. This is Sons of the Shoe with Nick Wilson and Spencer German.
It is Sons of the Shoe, a somber episode of the podcast, I should say. And Nick Wilson apparently dodging the show because he's so despondent about what we just witnessed in the Ohio State-Oregon game. I guess before we have to dissect what we witnessed tonight, I should remind you to like, follow, subscribe to Sons of the Shoe, wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, in the Odyssey app is one fine place you can find it. You can also find it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Did I mention Apple Podcasts? And at the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel, where many of you are watching along with us here tonight and looking for answers as to how that game played out. And there's a lot of different places to go. I mean, it's funny because, like, that last drive goes differently, and it's a very different tone to this conversation. You're talking about Ryan Day getting a win against a top five team, a top three team at that. We're talking about Will Howard delivering in a major, major moment in his first sort of chance with the spotlight on him as Ohio State's quarterback. Completely different conversation. And instead, here we are lamenting what played out and everything that Ohio State produced tonight and the problems that we saw on full display and what it means for this team moving forward. So you're more than welcome to participate. I know this show, we love to get the interactions in the comments. I'm going to try to rely on you guys more than usual, especially because I know you guys have a lot of different things to say and a lot of different things, a lot of venting to do, if you will, from this this loss tonight. I think let's just start with the obvious. End of the game, I thought Will Howard was putting together a drive for the ages, like marching the offense down the field. Big throw on the one third, the short third down play where he hits Emeka Ebuka on a corner route. Great pass towards the sideline, stops the clock. And it's like, okay, I was getting excited because I'm feeling this build. It's funny, like there's these drives at the end of the game where there's this nervousness to it. It's why we love football. There's this nervousness to it in your gut, but you also have this, like, you're seeing it play out in real time. You're like, man, he's making all the throws. He's making all the plays. Here we go. It's going to happen. They're going to pull it off. Then you get the penalty on Jeremiah Smith, which it was by the book, the right call. But that's that. So there's a couple different things in play here. First of all, they need to change the rule where if a defensive pre-snap penalty, like 12 men on the field, occurs, that should be a situation. Like, why does that play that Ohio State then ran cost you seconds off the clock if they had 12 men in the huddle? That to me makes no sense. Now, I'm not going to sit here and use that as an excuse as to why they lost. They made way too many mistakes tonight. Defense was putrid, which we will talk about. But like that seems inexcusably stupid to me that if the defense commits a pre-snap penalty, you go back, you already ran a play, so you lost that time, and then the clock continues to run. Like, the offense should have some sort of option there to reset it or whatever, or get the seconds back that they used. Like, that just seems so stupid. So that was a situation all in its own right. But that also plays into the Will Howard situation here at the end of the game, because he has to know better. He has to know that he's going to come back out there and the clock's going to run, and or Ryan Day needs to know and tell him that, so that when they start that next play, they can just get off and go rather than take their time. Because that's the whole reason why they ran out of time at the end, because they let like 7 seconds run off before they ran their next play, and then they were down to 10 seconds after that. So it was stupid. The rule is stupid, 100%. But it was also stupid of Ryan Day, Will Howard, whatever conversation needed to happen there, to not go out, run the play faster, and just like take their time as if they, you know, as if it was like the first quarter of the damn game. That didn't make any sense either. So on both fronts, stupid things happening. Will Howard was brought in for these types of moments. He was brought in to know those rules, know the situation, be out there on the field to you know, basically perform and shine in those on that stage, and he lets you down because then he follows it up with the 6 seconds left. He runs, which I don't blame. I don't mind that he ran because they had the timeout. But dude, you got to know how much time is left on the clock before you run that play. If you're going to run the football, you got to get out of bounds somehow. Like, you can't run it straight up the middle and assume that you're going to get that timeout off in time. Like, that was so that, especially when you stood in the pocket and looked around first and then took off. Like, if you had done that, if it would have been like a designed QB run, maybe you take off 3 seconds and then you call the timeout and you get what you're looking for there. But that was just nonsensical. And, you know, I tweeted out, I said, Buckeyes brought in Will Howard for moments like this. They brought him in to deliver on this stage. Let's find out if they were right. And then I followed it up by saying, I guess not. Like, and I understand, like, they're college kids. They're going to make mistakes. These things are going to happen. Fine. But, like, dude, it's Ohio State. Ryan Day preaches how you can't have bad days at Ohio State. This was the biggest moment that and the chance for him to sort of cement, like, I'm the guy. And I kept telling you guys, man, every week I was like, I thought Will Howard played well, but there just is something missing. Like, I just need to see it in a certain moment or a certain game or whatever. And this was supposed to be the game tonight. This was supposed to be the stage where he showed up and you know, in the moment where you needed him the most or when you needed the offense to make a play, he delivered. And it sucks because I thought up until that point, he played an absolutely brilliant football game. He was pretty much flawless. He was 28 of 35, 326 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. He was making the right decisions. He was delivering the ball on time in perfect placement throughout the game. It was across the board. He was playing a really, really good football game. And the thing that we're all going to look back on and remember him for now is that flub at the end that basically cost you the game because you don't even give yourself a chance to kick the field goal. It's unfortunate that we're going to look at it that way because, and like I said, it's for all the things I was still looking for Will Howard, I guess maybe the one thing I was still looking for from Will Howard, it sucks that it ends that way because I was ready to come on this show and tell you guys, like, all right, Will Howard passed the test. He's good for me. He's good with me. I'm not worried anymore. I'm not dwelling on that anymore. I'm not talking about him like having a bad moment here or there. Like I was all in on Will Howard, and then that happens at the end, and I'm like, well, what the hell? I mean, so that was frustrating, super, super frustrating. But there's other problems than just Will Howard in this game. Let me actually go real quick to some of your guys' responses on this. Brian Cato says, Will Howard should know the rule. That is very true. I alluded to that. He also added that Kyle McCord more clutch wins than Will Howard. You know, it is kind of funny. The one game last year that Will Howard played his – not Will Howard – that Kyle McCord played his best was one of those crunch time situations against Notre Dame where he marched them down the field and basically, you know, scores the game when he touched down. And he made some of the best throws of his career on that drive. So that is kind of funny. Our friend Radu, who watches and comments and follows along all the time, appreciate you watching, Radu. He says, typical no awareness of the clock. Yeah, that is pretty characteristic of the Ryan Day era, which is something that we have to get to as well. But I kind of want to get to that later, though. Because I think the next thing we have to go to truly is the fact that this defense looked awful today. Absolutely awful. Actually, real quick, I'll go back. I'll give you one more. SW Lion 26 says, just some weird ass stuff with the clock running after the OPI penalty. It just seemed like the clock was running before everybody was lined up at the line of scrimmage. I didn't catch that after the OPI penalty, but obviously I mentioned earlier, It seems stupid that they let it run and you lose time on a play that technically didn't count because there was 12 men in the huddle on the defense. That's something that they have to change at some point. But regardless, we have to talk about this defense, guys, because this defense was putrid today. And I was literally sitting here. I was watching the game with my wife. I was sitting here saying, as this game went on, this defense is not winning you a national championship. There was, first of all, there was zero pass rush, which I thought the thing that this group was going to excel at because of the players that they have up front was going to be getting to the quarterback. Jack Sawyer's supposed to be that guy. I had high expectations for him this year because the last time we saw him at the end of last season in the bowl game, he was dominating. And I was like, okay, he's going to take that next step. And then Ty Hamilton and Tyleek Williams in the middle, like those guys can get to the quarterback and create some problems. And JT Tuimoloau, as we know, is a great pass rusher in his own right, who can also stop, make plays in the run game. He's kind of a jack-of-all-trades type guy. And there was just zero pass rush today from that front four. Dylan Gabriel seemed like he had hours to throw the football downfield. And guys were getting wide open because Jim Knowles was just playing zone the entire game. And then when Jim Knowles finally decided to blitz, he was having some success with it. But, like, he wasn't blitzing enough to make up for the fact that the front four guys weren't getting there. I've tried to defend Jim Knowles because I do think he's a better defensive mind in college football. But tonight was one of those games where, and I know you guys bring this up all the time, the fans who follow along with the show, comment, whatever, like, he has had some of these flub games where his team just can't, he doesn't have the answers to the puzzle. Like, he doesn't have the answers to the math problems out there on the field. And he doesn't seem to make the adjustments that are needed to win you those big games. Like, he was brought in for that sole purpose because the defense wasn't good enough before. And we thought he was kind of going to kind of be the answer to all the problems. And then we can look back at the Michigan game a couple of years ago, his first year here, where it was the defense that was really giving up some big chunk plays to Michigan, and then they lose that game in a blowout. You can look back at last year and see similar problems as well. And then this year now, this is the first chance they had against a top team like this and skill positions like Oregon has. And by the way, one of their better skill position players – obviously left this game in Trayshawn Holden because he decided to spit on Igbinosin, and it was like that was just one of the most boneheaded things that you could do. So it's only going to get harder. Like, next time you see them, you're going to have to go up against him again. Oh, and by the way, Oregon didn't even have their best defensive line presence in Jordan Birch, who was out for this game as well, like their best pass rusher out there. And Ohio State lost Josh Simmons in the process. Like, it was from us, like, if you're talking like, where does Ohio State fit in the picture of national championship contender and all these different things? I think today you can punch a lot of holes in that argument. And the defense is one of the biggest reasons why. I mean, this group with Caleb Downs, Igbinosin, Denzel Burke, Ransom, all offseason, all we heard was like BIA, best in America. We're going to be so good. Nobody's going to be able to do anything on us. And then all game long, they were giving up huge plays. Best in America, what? Committing pass interference? Like, that was all they did. They got beat, and then they grabbed guys. That was it. Like, for being a group that you thought that was supposed to be so good, this group was terrible tonight. And it started with Denzel Burke. He was the worst of anybody in the secondary tonight. And in a game that's that stage, you know, there was a lot of scouts in attendance tuning in for that. I'm not saying that Denzel Burke isn't still going to get drafted or anything like that. Like, I'm not saying his stock plummeted that much, but they're watching that game and you're going up against talent like Oregon has, some of the better players at the skill positions in this sport at this level, and you're struggling against those guys. No, like that's you're falling down draft boards right now, Denzel Burke. Like, that was a miserable performance by him. So it started with him, but it was across the board. Like, that group wasn't good enough, and I don't think Jim Knowles obviously did them any favors either. Let's see. Radu jumps in. Defense is still not good enough. Burke got torched on the back end. Very, very true. Burke looking like Thornhill out there tonight, talking about Juan Thornhill of the Cleveland Browns. Let's see. Anybody else have commentary? I know I saw some other ones. Here's one. The DBs got cooked all day. That's a major issue for me. It's going to be a major issue, man, because when you go up against some of these other top teams in college football, they have skill position players that are on par with what Oregon has. Like, it's not like it's that. Oregon has, I would say, is maybe Oregon might be like second to Ohio State in terms of the guys that they have at the skill positions, but like, it's not like Georgia's devoid of talent at skill position players, or Alabama, same sort of thing. Brad, you already had his comment on here. I'm trying to see if there's anybody else who wanted to get in on Denzel Burke. There was a lot. But no, you guys get the idea here, man. And the comments are certainly speaking to that. A lot of problems in the secondary, a lot of problems on defense. And until that, like, if they don't fix that, those problems, I don't know how you do, but if you don't fix some of that stuff in the meat of the schedule that's coming up, and make us feel better about it, there's no chance that I feel confident about this team moving forward as a national title contender. And they still could do that theoretically because the setup of the playoff this year, it's 12 teams. There's an obvious path back into the playoff. They could play Oregon again in a Big Ten championship game situation. And that's very, very likely to potentially happen. And if it does, okay, you're going to have to get your revenge. But again, Oregon was missing multiple key players tonight. They also had a bunch of missed opportunities from missed field goal, missed extra point, couldn't convert a two-point conversion to kind of level the score back after they had fallen behind and after they missed the extra point. So they made plenty of mistakes in their own right, and they still beat you, while you made even more mistakes, and they made your defense look like Swiss cheese. It was terrible. I mean, it was absolutely terrible. I don't know what this means for Jim Knowles. I mean, I don't know that he's not getting fired midseason or anything, but I do think, like, if you had – there's plenty of people that had doubts about him before. I think this one opens up all those criticisms even more, and maybe people who weren't on board are now on board, myself included, because, like I said, I even said – I tried to kind of defend him and said, like, give him some time. But now you're in year three and you're still seeing a lot of the same problems persist. And I just don't see the adjustments being made. I mean, it was a disaster. And some of that's talent. Like, you got to get guys that are going to help make the plays for you or with you as the defensive coordinator. You can't be out there doing it yourself. But I just think he's there's something missing there. There's a disconnect there where he doesn't necessarily catch on to things quickly enough. He doesn't bring the pressure when he needs to, and the secondary had plenty of issues tonight as well, and I don't think that he helped them by less letting them play zone all the time. Maybe he made them play zone because he didn't trust them a man because they kept doing what I said, which was grabbing guys, and maybe that just means that they just weren't ready for this moment, this stage, and they're not as good as we think. They're an overrated group maybe overall, but that was highly disappointing as well. I hate how – listen, I honestly am bummed that Nick isn't here for this episode because – I didn't want to have to do this by myself. I am a mess mentally in terms of trying to process this one because I love cheering for this team, and I'm frustrated about how that game went. Like, I woke up this morning and I was feeling a little bit nervous about it, but I kind of had talked myself into the idea that, like, well, Ohio State's the better team. They'll probably, you know, play with their food a little bit. That's not fair because Oregon's a very good team, but it'll be a close game. And then I could see Ohio State pulling away late or, you know, maybe scoring and putting it away on defense or something like that late. But I thought I wasn't expecting so many problems, especially on the defensive side that we saw. And I wasn't expecting Will Howard to just completely, for lack of a better phrase, shit his pants in the biggest moment of the game. I mean, it was all highly disappointing. The other thing that is highly disappointing that I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about is the fact that Ryan Day is now 1-7 against top five teams during his tenure at Ohio State. I don't want to be hyperbolic because I understand that Nick and I have generally been like, well, it's okay. That's not the right way to put it. Nick and I have generally been in the camp of Ryan Day is a good coach, and he's went all in this year to make sure he had this super team. Let's see how this thing plays out. I've tended to believe that the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So let's give the guy a chance. The fact that he handed off play calling duties to his mentor and Chip Kelly, you felt like that was going to be something that was beneficial and useful for them. It doesn't help, though, that you have a pack. Like, it was funny because it was a Big Ten game tonight, but it felt like a Pac-12 game because it was just all offense, no defense. But I digress. But Ryan Day, to this point, I think we have been somewhat defensive of Ryan Day and trying to give him some leeway and a longer leash than others. I don't know if I can do that anymore. I'm at a point right now, man, and it was when I was reading up a lot, getting ready for this game and preparing and just kind of reading up on Oregon a little bit, that I was reminded again, like, 1-6 coming into tonight against top five teams. And that one was kind of sitting with me for a couple days. And then he loses again tonight. And I'm like, all right, like, at this point, it's like, it's his boogeyman and he can't run from it anymore. He can't run from the fact that he just cannot beat top five teams or teams that are supposed, that he's supposed to be on par with. Like, his team is supposed to be on par, you know, from a national perspective and a ranked perspective with a team like Oregon. Like, Ohio State's constantly going to be in the top five in terms of rankings. They're generally going to be a national title contender, but he can't beat the teams that are also like part of that group. He almost did it against Georgia in the playoff, but we can't just keep going back to that and saying almost. Like, at some point, I got to admit, like many of you already have, that he's just not getting it done in terms of those moments. Now, he's not getting fired this season, mid-season at least. We know what's ahead. You got Nebraska after a bye week. You have Penn State, who's now probably going to jump you in the rankings because they just beat USC in overtime tonight or earlier tonight. You go win those games and maybe that helps your cause. But we know the only game that's really going to help his cause is Michigan. If he loses to Michigan again, that's it. He's done. A two-loss season. Maybe they still make the playoff because they get a second chance at Oregon or whatever. But, like, a two-loss season, you lose to Michigan again, probably fall short of a national championship. Like, none of that at all is going to cut it for him keeping his job. And I do think that they would consider that they're going to look long and hard about, like, again, there's a lot that can still happen this season. So I'm not saying he's gone for sure. But at this point, man, like, I am now going to the camp of, if he doesn't beat Michigan this year, if he doesn't at least get to a national championship, because those are the standards at Ohio State. The standard is beat Michigan, compete for national championships. I understand they might not win the national championship, but if he can't at least get there with this team that he assembled, that he put all these resources into, and they beg people for money and all these different things to make sure they can pay for these players and get them there on NIL deals. If he can't even get there and he falls short of Michigan again, that's it. That's the last straw, man. Like, tonight was disappointing. And what's crazy too is I actually felt like for a while I liked what Ryan Day was doing. I actually wrote down, I will do my like it, love it, leave it for this game. And I wrote down as a like it possibility, Ryan Day didn't flinch in certain key moments early in that game. He was going for it on fourth down. He wasn't hesitant. He was just pulling the trigger, putting his offense back out there. He was being aggressive. I liked what he was doing in that regard, especially with Chip Kelly kind of calling the plays, and I thought the offense looked brilliant for most of that game. So in some respects, like, that's part of Ryan Day's, you know, what Ryan Day is supposed to be good at is offense. And so that, you know, he gets, I guess, a feather in his cap for that. But at the same time, man, like, you're the head coach. You need your team to come through in these spots. And they fell short again. I blame him for how the clock was managed late, and him and Will Howard not understanding that the clock was going to run after that penalty. And like, that's another blunder on his resume. I want to throw out some of your guys' comments on this. Somebody, I got to find it. Somebody compared him, unless it was in my Twitter mentions, but I thought it was on here. Let me see if I can find it. I don't know if it's on here or not. Nope, I don't see it. Somebody, I think, on Twitter compared him to – he said – somebody on Twitter said to me that he's basically just James Franklin with a better roster or something like that, and I kind of laughed at that because we get on James Franklin a lot on this show for the fact that he can't win big games, and now I'm starting to feel like the only big game that Ryan Day can win is the one against Penn State because he can't beat Michigan. He can't beat anybody else. Well, here's one as we talked about the defense. Radu says, fire Jim Knowles. Ryan Day, Brian Cater, Ryan Day chokes again in a big game. What else is new? Let's keep going here. Who else wants to jump in on this? Fire Day, Cooper 2.0. I have since seen a lot of people who are chiming in. There's a bunch of people in a row saying he's John Cooper 2.0. He's John Cooper 2.0, which has been the argument about Ryan Day for the last couple of years. I know that he's basically just a reincarnation of John Cooper as the head coach. He can win all the games against the low-level schools in the Big Ten, but on the big stages, he's not going to get it done. I am coming to that side. Tonight was it for me. 1-7 against top five teams, I think, is enough of a sample size for me to feel like, yeah, dude, like, you just don't show up. Your teams aren't ready for those moments, and you don't get the results in those moments that you need to be the head coach at Ohio State. Again, not getting fired right now, I wouldn't expect that. He's got time to, I guess, change that narrative about himself. If he can go out and beat Michigan, if he can run the table the rest of the way, and if he can go win a national championship or get to a national championship, then maybe there's still a conversation to be had. But as things stand right now, on October 12th, after a dreadful loss that was totally unavoidable by this team and by this coach, I am subscribing to the idea that he is officially in the John Cooper 2.0 camp, and it's time to have a serious conversation about whether or not he should be the head coach of this football team long term, depending on how the rest of this year goes. Some other things I just was going to bring up again, the O-line problems. I thought they looked great on the first drive, and then it was all kind of downhill from there where they had some problems. And I thought even despite that, Will Howard navigated that things pretty well. I did think, too, they did a pretty good job in the run game in terms of run blocking, even when guys got hurt and were out of the game, because, like, this Ohio State team, they still rushed for 141 yards. Granted, Oregon rushed for 155 yards. And I did think at times in the second half they got away from the run a little bit because they weren't picking up quite as many chunk plays. And that's a credit to Oregon for being able to sort of stop those guys and diagnose that, something that Jim Knowles maybe didn't do as well in terms of making adjustments. We're back to that conversation. I think like that offensive line still has some flaws, and it's only made worse now by the fact that Josh Simons is out for – we'll find out. It looked like a season-ending injury. The replay showed it was non-contact. That's never a good sign for a knee injury. Tegra Shibola got hurt but did come back in, so maybe nothing serious there. But if this team is now – already has a loss on the season, we've always had questions about how physically tough they are, if they have that element to their game, and now they're turning things over – at the most important position on that offensive line to Zen Mikalski to fill in at left tackle. Not great. You're going to go up against teams with great pass rushers. That's going to continue to be a problem. And I don't know how they combat that unless Zen plays out of his mind and he somehow is the savior at the position. But I'm guessing that Simmons is lost for the season. And I don't know. It just adds even more salt into the wounds for what was a frustrating night all around for the Ohio State Buckeyes. All right, guys. Couple of final thoughts I want to get to. We always like to end with our like it, love it, leave it. I actually want to do this too. Nick's not here. I need something to – I don't know if this lightens the mood, but I need to have some fun. I need to do something. You guys know me if you've watched the podcast or listened to the podcast enough. I tend to be, between Nick and I, the more skittish one, the more nervous one. And so after tonight, Michigan panic meter, it's moving. Michigan panic meter is moving. It's in the light gray now. Sorry. You lose to Oregon and your defense looks like that. I know Alex Orji only likes to throw for like 40 yards a game, but this Ohio State defense looked like he'd throw for like 300 yards once they play them later this year. And I'm going to that game, so I hope that doesn't happen. But my goodness, I mean, that was terrible. So the Michigan panic meter is moving, not because of anything Michigan did, but because of what Ohio State did tonight in what was an absolutely pathetic performance on defense. And offensively, I honestly feel like offensively, maybe this is a nice segue into like it, love it, leave it. I thought offensively they were really, really good tonight. So I guess I will start there. I like that the offense, they were, aside from the final drive, they were ready for this game. They were up for this game. They were ready for the occasion. I thought Will Howard played really, really well up until, again, the final drive of the game. And yeah, it felt like when they were on the field, I felt really good about things. And when the defense was on the field, I felt really bad about things. So I'm just going to say, I think I liked the entire offensive process up until the very, very end of the game. But I felt good about it up until, again, the final drive. Love it. I will go back to, I'm having a hard time even finding anything that I do love in this game because it was dreadful the way it ended. But I do love the fact that Ryan Day, and I said this a little bit earlier, was not nervous. He was adamant about going for it. We have seen in these moments that he sometimes, you know, puckers up, doesn't, you know, shies away from going for it on fourth down or whatever it might be. And that's been something we've been hypercritical of him for in previous years. So the fact that he came ready for the moment, I thought tonight was good. Even though I'm walking away disappointed in him overall, because you can't be 1-7 against top five teams and be the head coach of Ohio State. You just can't. But I love that, at least for what was happening early on in the game. And then it all kind of dissipated again on that last drive when clock management was an issue and he clearly didn't have his quarterback ready for that final drive and what was going to play out. Leave it. I mean, there's so many things that we could leave. The injuries on the offensive line is one. I think ultimately, though, I got to leave the defense in Oregon. Just leave them. Leave all of them. Mostly the secondary. The rest of the defense can come back, but the secondary, just leave them. Leave them in Eugene, because that was awful. You can't walk around touting yourselves as the best in America and that be the performance that you give us on the biggest stage of your season to date. And a game that they said it in the broadcast, like, this was a game that you had circled on your schedule. You knew that this was the biggest game you were going to play, maybe the entire year other than Michigan. That's definitely the case. But at least at this point in the season, like, this was the game. This was the game you were building 5 weeks, five games previously for. And you laid an absolute egg on defense for a group that we were so excited about because, oh, here comes Caleb Downs as a big-time transfer to Ohio State. And they just completely shit the bed, man. Like, that was so frustrating to watch. Every drive, I just said it. Offense was on the field. I felt like, okay, they can do anything. They're going to score. They're going to be good. Defense was on the field. It was like sitting there nervous as hell about what was going to happen. And I was just hoping that Dillon Gabriel was going to make one of these mistakes that he was making in previous weeks in the red zone, or throw inadvertent pass or like something. And he just tore him up tonight. He looked like the Heisman favorite in this game because the defense and the secondary played so poorly. And there was no adjustments. There was no nothing. Along with the secondary, just leave Jim Knowles, I guess, too. There was people in the comments calling for Jim Knowles to be fired. Again, he's going to see the season through, obviously, but I'm that's another chorus of people that I'm starting to, I think, join the fold on as well. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading a comment and I thought it was something pertinent to what we were talking about, but it was not. It was just about mouthpieces. I'll say this, guys, overall, and I saw some people comment this. In the grand scheme of things, this game lived up to the hype in terms of what it was kind of touted as. Big Ten showdown, Oregon's first time on this stage in the Big Ten, and everything that meant. I'm appreciative to that, I guess, on some level. But I'm telling you right now, when I get off this podcast and I go to bed tonight, I am going to bed angry, infuriated, pissed off, whatever. Fill in the blank of how you might feel. You know what? If you want to comment right now before we wrap up the show. You're going to bed feeling like what about Ohio State? I think the answers are clearly any of the things that I just said. I think you could also say feeling like they're not championship contenders. I'm willing to even say like, yeah, see you in 2025, because that was for a team that was supposed to be a championship contender, has this loaded roster that like we've been hyping up for months now. Since the night Michigan won the national championship, and there was the news that night that they had struck a deal with Quinshon Judkins and he was coming to Ohio State. From that point on, we were talking about this roster being the best ever. You had Urban Meyer talking about this roster being the most talented roster ever. And what was the thing that we said? All we ever said was to have the most talented roster ever. You can say that on paper, but you got to prove it on the field. Like, if they want to walk away, and if this group wants to walk away eventually and say, we were a better overall team than the 2014 team that won the national championship, guess what? They got to prove it on the field. They got to go win a national championship. And you took a step backwards from that tonight with the way that the defense played, the errors with clock management, just everything. I mean, so much went wrong tonight. And because of injuries, because Jim Knowles is still overseeing the defense and Ryan Day is Ryan Day and you can't beat top five teams, I don't feel good about anything that lies ahead for this team. I mean, hell, maybe this is the year they lose to James Franklin and Ohio State. Who really knows with the way that James Franklin and Penn State. Who really knows with the way that Penn State's playing and the way that this secondary looked tonight, maybe Drew Aller's just going to tear him up. I have no idea. But frustrating game, man. I'm glad I got a chance to kind of vent with many of you. I try to use your comments as much as possible because I know that you guys, a game like this, you deserve to have a voice in the show as well and provide some commentary because I know that we're all kind of experiencing it in real time together and venting about it in real time together. So appreciate those of you who jumped into the comments. Appreciate those of you who watched tonight. I will get this up on the audio version, so please tell your friends, share it with your friends and family. Let them know that I read your comment on a live podcast if you want. But you can find Sons of the Shoe, as always, in a number of different places. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, at the 92 Through the Fan YouTube channel. That's a point of reference that you can find us as well, like many of you are doing right now as you watch this very episode in real time. Did I mention Apple? I might have, but I mentioned it again just to be safe. Appreciate you guys. I do not appreciate the effort from Ohio State tonight. That's not fair. That's not fair. It came down to the wire. I do appreciate their effort. I do not appreciate the defensive effort, the Denzel Burke effort, the fact that Jim Knowles can't make adjustments, that Ryan Day just crumbles in big-time games. I don't appreciate any of those things. And as I said, I will be going to bed as an Ohio State fan infuriated tonight. I do not feel good. My stomach is churning. I feel sick to my stomach. Hated the result tonight. I got no other words for you. It's frustrating. Hopefully they can regroup. And hopefully by the time we drop our next episode, I'm feeling a little bit better about things. But tonight is not the night for that. All right, guys. Appreciate you as always. We will be back with another episode of Sons of the Shoe this week. I'm sure Nick will join me to sort of give his two cents on how things played out for that episode. No game next week. It's a bye week for the Buckeyes, and they got a lot of problems to answer and figure out before they play Nebraska the following week. So we'll have a preview for Nebraska the week after that. Obviously, no post game next week without a game. But again, we appreciate you guys as always. And it feels very disingenuous to say this to get us out of here, but it is the way we always end the show. Go Bucks.